Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. My conversation with Jack Hibbs, live from Dream City Church. No advertisers today. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA Faith, Turning Point Faith, have your pastor or your church get involved, go to tpusa.com/faith. That's tpusa.com/faith. No advertisers today. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing to try to reach millions of young people all across the country. And if you're inspired by this work and you know the work that our researchers do, I want to thank Lori from Huntington Beach, California. I want to thank Susie from Oregon, Christine from North Carolina, again, for your generous support. Ray from Cape Coral, Florida, thank you. Sherry from Overland Park, Texas, charliekirk.com/support. We have the most amazing listeners, the most amazing supporters. Seriously, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for all that you are doing to support us and get behind us. charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Enjoy this conversation with Jack Hibbs, and then we take questions live from the audience this Sunday episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, tpusa.com/faith. If you want to get involved with that, buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. You know, As you know, I'm not getting vaccinated, so I'm not able to go to Broadway. So we had the Broadway show tonight. So I gotta say, that's pretty impressive. It's great to be here, everybody. We're gonna go over some local Arizona stuff, and I'm not gonna talk for too long because we have the great Jack Hibbs here tonight, and lots to go over. I want to just say thank you again to this wonderful church and church family that allows this to happen, and it is growing with momentum. And I'm going to tell you some fun success stories that have come out of Freedom Square here in just the last month. And I have to say, I'm playing hurt here tonight on Friday. And a lot of you can sympathize with that, with this. I had all four of my wisdom teeth removed. So the fact that I'm here today, I think, is actually a testament to Dr. Toll, who does a phenomenal. If anyone needs a dentist in Scottsdale, no opioids, 4 days later, still doing radio and speaking at an event. That's a God thing, I have to say. Glory to God, right? So I didn't want to tell Jack this, but I invited Jack as the backup in case I wasn't opening my mouth at all here tonight. So now he knows really why he was invited here tonight. So a couple things. I want to say the momentum continues to grow. And we here at Freedom Square have talked about the importance of school board involvement since the very beginning. Remember, the verse that we've been focusing on is Jeremiah 29:7. Demand the welfare of the city or the place that I've sent you in, because your welfare is tied to your city's welfare. And so, as many of you know, the Scottsdale Unified School District, I believe, made a terrible mistake a couple weeks ago to decide not to listen to parents and say that every single child is going to be forced to wear a mask at the school. At Scottsdale Unified School District, with very few waivers and very few exceptions in between. And we know what this does to childhood development. We know what this does to emotional development. We know what this does to spiritual development. God gave us a face for a reason. And we know that putting cloths over children has way more negatives than potential positives. And so we kind of sent out a little bit of a notice at Turning Point saying, hey, this is happening. You know, if you guys want to show up. And I have to tell you, I was so inspired by how many people from Dream City Church showed up to that Scottsdale Unified School District meeting. And I'm going to play some highlights here. So it's so easy to go and speak at one of these things, people. Show up and allow your voice to be heard. I was number one and my wife was number two to speak. I have to say, my wife gave a much better speech than I did, and we're going to play a part of it because she named and shamed all of them because of what they've been doing in this local area, I'll tell you. And But it really does show a lesson that the Bible tells us, which is that evil does not like when it is called out. And by the 45th parent that we had show up at the Scottsdale Unified School District, all of a sudden one of the school board members, who will remain nameless, said something that no one should say in any sort of decent setting, caught on hot mic, and it caught in a lot of kind of this nonstop apology tour because of it, a very bad thing to say. And I realized these people have never been called out for what they've done for this long. You still have the power, everybody. And I could tell you right now, I think they're here tonight. And if not, they should be. But they're 4 out of 5 of those school board members are now facing a recall. And we have to get those signatures. So if that interests you, I don't think they're here tonight. But I will tell you, they will be here at the next one, October 19th. Is that right, Joe? 19th. If you are a Scottsdale resident and a registered voter, you could sign the recall petition. I think we need like 22,000 signatures, but through Turning Point Action, our political vehicle, I am personally going to try to do everything we possibly can through our political vehicle to try to get us over the top. Because, look, we have to send a message that this is not going to fly. So I want to play a short clip here. This was my speech speaking at the Scottsdale Unified School District. I was first up, and again, it's really interesting. They just are staring at you with all the vengeance you could possibly imagine. I just want to say, all of the parents that had the courage to face them, they deserve the real credit. And I'm just going to play this because maybe you guys can steal a one-liner or two. I can't believe they gave me as much time as they gave me. So we'll play a short tape of Scottsdale Unified School District.
Okay, can our first speaker free to approach? And if you could just state your name into the microphone so we can get it for our meeting minutes.
Yep. Okay, my name is Charlie Kirk, and I'm a new resident of Scottsdale. It kind of feels like I'm living in San Francisco because of all of you and your self-righteous measures that you're putting to abuse the children of this wonderful state. I'm going to have children here one day, and I sure hope people like you aren't in charge. You are defying Arizona law and measures to mask children, even though there is zero evidence to show that children are at a significant risk of catching or dying from the Chinese coronavirus. In fact, children who drive to school are at a much larger risk of dying on the way to school than from COVID-19, according to the CDC. The CDC's research says the following: children 5 to 14 years old have a 0.2 chance of dying from COVID. Yet from all deaths, suicide is 1.5, homicide 0.7, cardiovascular disease 0.6, drowning 0.5, flu and pneumonia 0.3, suffocation and COVID are the exact same measure. Yet this district has decided to go in their own direction against the will of the taxpayers of this area and want to mask children. We know what masking children does. This has a serious mental health toll on young people, the inability to communicate, the inability to even hear what teachers are saying. In fact, masking makes people unfamiliar with each other. It makes you less likely to be able to empathize with another person. God gave us a face for a reason. Dr. Macri wrote a piece in which he studied 48,000 cases of children under 18 reported to have COVID between April and August of last year. How many children died? He said, quote, "Our report found a mortality rate of 0 among children without a pre-existing medical condition such as leukemia." So why the mask craziness? There was a 22.3% spike in ER trips for potential suicides by children aged 12 to 17 in summer 2020 compared to 2019, according to findings published in the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. And we know there's a direct link between children not being able to empathize with their peers and their parents and mental health issues. This district has decided to go in its own direction against the will of the voters and the legislature here in Arizona, not to mention the social emotional learning guideline that you mistakenly sent out to parents in this district, the consultant group that you passed into law here, and the violation of the Open Meetings Act, which, by the way, I hope the Attorney General of this state acts with criminal intent against this school district for breaking the law and passing a curriculum without allowing parent input. In closing, I'm going to say this. Your time is soon up. The people of this state and this school district are rising up. There are recall measures in place. You have awoke a sleeping giant. I hope you enjoy your masked short-term future here while it still lasts. Thank you.
So as fun as that was, I'm going to play a short clip of my wife's one, which was even better. And I have to say, it was much better than that. And the reason we're playing this is I just hope that if I can inspire one person to show up and look somebody in the eye and say, you have to stop doing this, then you're participating in the American project. That's what we want to do here tonight, that you could speak boldly and courageously. And so my wife said, Charlie, I got a real surprise in store. I said, oh boy, what is she going to do? And so she shows up at the meeting and we can play the whole thing, but it gets, we'll play like the first minute because you'll get the point. And so she decided to say, you know what, why don't we have a moment of silence for every person that has committed suicide because of these sort of lockdowns and will commit suicide because of what you're doing. And so she took the 3 minutes of just the moment of silence, and then about a minute and a half, a school board member who will not be named decided to go check something on his computer. And she says, no, we're doing a moment of silence. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, almost immediately. So we're going to enjoy just the beginning part of this, and you'll love it.
Hi, my name is Erica Franzme. I'm a former SUSD student. I would like to use my 3 minutes today, Mr. Greenberg, Mrs. Cianoski, Mrs. Beckman, Mrs. Hartwells, and Mr. Lindsay. And I would like to have a moment of silence for the SUSD students who have committed suicide because of the mental health issues you all have created by enforcing reckless rules and regulations implemented in the 2020 school year. And I would also like to include within this moment of silence all of the kids who will end up committing suicide this upcoming school year in 2021 and 2022 because of your reckless and ego-centered leadership and lack thereof. Mr. Greenberg, I would like for you to not be distracted on your computer during the moment of silence, please. I've had friends who've committed suicide.
It's so good. Give it up for my wife who had the courage to stare them. That's a mic drop moment, I'll tell you what. So, all right. So I want to get to two more quick things. Number one, some good news today. The Attorney General of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, came out and said that local governments cannot mandate the vaccine against employees' will here in the local states and counties. Great news. And I want to thank the Attorney General for speaking clearly on that. And number two, another action point. If anyone is involved or connected to Brophy, they are forcing every single child to get vaccinated or be subject to twice a week testing and no traveling with sports teams. We have called out Brophy, and what's even worse than that is that Brophy, they brag a lot about their scholarship students, which are low-income, typically Hispanic students that go to Brophy. They are calling Hispanic families and threatening that if their children do not get the vaccine, they're soft-threatening, saying, oh, you know, there's a lot of other children that are on the waiting list. In the Hispanic community and the Black community, have low rates of vaccination. This is evil, what is going on at Brophy. They've already betrayed the legacy of what was once a great school. So if anyone is connected there, or if you know people there, there's an amazing group of moms that are holding it down for the boys that go to Brophy. And I just want to say, please get involved if you can, because that's a really, really important fight locally. Okay, everybody, we have some momentum here in Arizona. And one of the reasons that this whole event came to be was because of a friend of mine who's been speaking out so clearly on these issues for years. We all heard from Pastor Rob McCoy last month, and Rob McCoy and Jack Hibbs are both Calvary Chapel pastors. And Jack Hibbs, I got to know because he had me speak at his Happening Now event, I think a year and a half ago. And I saw a crowd like this, and I said, you're allowed to do weeknight events talking about what's happening in your local area? and a pastor do that. And it inspired this whole thing, this conversation with the Barnetts. And Jack Hibbs is without a doubt one of the most godly and brave and courageous pastors that America knows. So please welcome to the stage, Jack Hibbs, everybody. So Jack, for a turn of events, I actually get to interview you this time.
This is fun.
And so I want to say hello to everyone watching on YouTube, on both our YouTube channel and the Happening Now YouTube channel.
Yeah, Happening Now YouTube channel, of our Facebook, and Charlie, a little later today, because it's so early yet, this is going to be replayed on our television station covering the Hawaiian Islands. That's later awesome. Today. So, yeah.
Praise God. And so, Jack, introduce yourself to this audience. Obviously, with this warm reaction, a lot of people know you and know your ministry. But talk about kind of how you got into ministry, your church, and what God's leading you to do.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge ask. It's been 30 years now since Lisa and I, my wife, we moved out from Costa Mesa, and we started a home Bible study in Chino Hills. Nobody knows where that is. We love it that way. It's got a small town vibe, although it doesn't have the feel of freedom like you guys are enjoying. I hope you know this. But long story short, started a home Bible study with six people in it. And I think last Sunday we had somewhere around 13 or 14,000 adults. And it's been going, what's happening here, Charlie knows this. We have been standing in that water in Southern California of cultural impact. We believe that Jesus, when he said, "Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And when you begin to unpack what that scripture means, when Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men," it's generic. It includes unbelievers. So from the beginning, 52 weeks a year, we host voter registration. We know our school board members by name. We pray for them by name. City council, the county board of supervisors, we make sure we connect with them, meet with them, ask them how they're doing, pray with them. And so because of that, there's been a relationship that I'd love for all of you to pay close attention to. When California locked down, and we've got to remember, and I'm so grateful for Charlie for keeping America aware that some of California's cities and counties locked down harder than even New York. But when that hit, we saw the tale of two churches. We saw John MacArthur fighting LA County, and that was brutal. And then we saw what happened with our church that sits on the LA County, San Bernardino County line. Totally different politics. Because what we did, is the fact that we engaged our leaders. And so we remained open. And since that time, Charlie, you know well, we've baptized now during the COVID season over 3,000 people. We have grown by the thousands. And God has opened up so many doors. People want a voice.
And Jack, also, you even collect ballots if people want to vote. How many ballots did you collect last Sunday?
Yeah, you guys need to understand something. In California, the party that shall not be named passed a law in Sacramento and then invented something called ballot harvesting. It's a horrible idea. Nobody in their right mind would think of doing such a thing. But you could go door to door and you can get signatures, you can get people to, and it opens up a door for horrible, horrible mistreatment, cheating, to say the least. Part of that system that they passed into law, what we wound up doing is that we circumcised it, so to speak, in the spiritual speaking. We made it with some integrity, meaning that we purchased special boxes from Amazon. We have guards, we have documentation, so the community can bring their ballots and make sure that their ballot is counted. And so we call it ballot collection, and it has been overwhelmingly successful, and I think we're going to be looking at close to 20,000 ballots coming in from the community, but where people want to vote with integrity. And so I know it's hard for you Arizonans to fathom such a harebrained idea, but listen. Well,
and it's using that law actually for good, which yeah. was intended for something that was less than good. Let's just say
yes.
that. Going door to door and trying to collect all the errant ballots. And so, Jack, let's talk more broadly. Why should Christians and pastors care about these cultural and civic issues? Because all the time you and I get messages. Why are you speaking out on this, Jack? Why are you speaking out on this? Why now, Jack? Why must we speak out?
Yeah, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's two things that when you start reading the Bible, you figure out really quick is that number one, God is awesome and he's everywhere and there's no place where he's not. Okay. And the second thing is that regarding our worship and who we are as believers based on the Bible, all of us in America have something that other nations do not have. And that is we have an American founding that is unique from any other country on the face of the earth throughout all of human history. And so our founding fathers built into our government and how we would operate regarding going back to the Mayflower Compact, for example, our nation's founding documents are all centered around the concept of God is the one who gives liberty. That's why the First Amendment is the First Amendment, by the way. And that's put to us by our founding fathers. That said, nowhere in the United States, in any federal or any documents of our founding nation, is there a separation of church and state. Now, hear me out. That's in a private letter between Thomas Jefferson and the Baptist Association in Danbury, Connecticut. They were reminding Jefferson, hey, now that you're president, remember, we left England to prevent from having a state church. And Jefferson and that pastor agreed there'll be no government involvement regarding what a church will do in this nation. We'll stick true to that. Having said that, everyone, our nation is built in such a way that it is we the people. And Alexis de Tocqueville announced to the world that when he looked at America, he saw the greatness of America. And he said, you know, when I looked at it, came over from France to check it out, he said it wasn't in their commodious harbors. It wasn't in their amber waves of grain. It wasn't in their incredible industry that America was burgeoning. He said, I didn't understand what made America great until I went into the churches of America. And then he said, when I saw what was going on in the churches, I saw that the pulpits were alive with freedom. So he said, my conclusion is this. America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, she will no longer be great. And that was said by a Frenchman. Now listen, there's no such thing as the separation of church and state. What we need to understand is no one is going to look out for your child's welfare in your school district better than you. You are to be responsible for your children, and you are to hold responsible those who have jurisdiction over your children that you gave them. And this is called biblical stewardship. We do not believe that we're going to usher in the kingdom of God on earth and make it perfect, and then Jesus gets to come back. Listen, this place, the world is messed up. And look, my theology teaches me that Jesus could come back tonight. But that doesn't mean I'm going to put my feet up and goof off. It means I'm going to shine the lights. I'm going to make truth known. And I want, as a pastor, my biggest thing as a pastor is to teach people the word of God and that it is activated in their life. And that, listen, my report card happens on Monday to Saturday, how people live their lives in our community. And so I want to equip them so that they go and they make a difference, that they run for mayor, that they wind up becoming those on the city council, that they're the ones who become the supervisors to the county. And that's exactly how it's worked. Listen, you guys, this is how good it's been. I don't mean to make that in a bad way. I got to tell you, the whole COVID dynamic was an amazing thing for us because we ran to the hurt. We ran to those who had children and family who committed suicide. The city saw it. The county saw it. They even asked us for help. And so isn't that what the Christian whole worldview is to represent Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And so in this crisis, it was wrong to shut down churches. In California, Gavin Newsom would not even let us meet or sing songs. And so when I sent him a note, I sent him a video note. I asked him about when does he plan for the church to open up. He wouldn't even announce the church in a category. We were not essential, and we were not non-essential. He failed to recognize us. And God was good, though, because the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jack, the church, my church is not essential, and it's not non-essential. My church is not a business. My church is transcendent. It's not of this world. And so that's what we do. That's what we love to do.
And I can tell you, going to Jack's church, you know, I was watching Jack on the live stream this last weekend. It was so funny. It was, you know, here's our women's ministry, and here's our family ministry, and here's if you need a grieving ministry. And then, like, without even breaking a step, the woman, as if she was telling you how to board an airplane, and she said, and now take this card if you want to recall Gavin Newsom, and here's how you can do that. And I was like, and then it's like the next one was like, and then here is our men's ministry. And I was like, whoa. And it was just so matter of fact. And so Jack, talk a little bit about, because everyone here gets it, some of the backlash and how you deal with that, because there's a lot of believers here, and you have people tell you, you know, stop getting involved in that sort of thing. You know, the kingdom of God transcends politics. Come on, Jack, why are you doing ballot collection? You should be doing this or that. How do individual believers deal with that and properly communicate that?
Yeah, the biggest things that we hear from the Christian side is people who write or call and say, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be like us. We preach the gospel. Well, we preach the gospel. We had 300 people accept the Lord a couple of weeks ago, the baptisms, as I've mentioned. And well, we preach the gospel. So we get it from the Christian community, and I understand that. But then we also get it from the world around us. And the other critique is, aren't you guys, should be loving. You should be showing the love of Jesus and shut your church down. But no, haven't you heard that? You should be loving. Close your church. But wait a minute. On April 26th of 2020, I'm praying. I'm having my morning devotional time, and I'm reading something. I don't even remember where I was reading in the Bible, but it wasn't the book of Revelation, I'll tell you that. And I'm reading along, and out of the throne room of God, I believe, right on my heart, the Christian will know what I mean by this. I didn't hear a voice. I felt the voice. And when you feel that voice, it's louder than an actual voice. And it was this. On April 26th, the Lord said to my heart, open the doors of my church. On May 31st, open the doors of my church. And I was like shocked. And in that pause, the next intense pressure on my heart was, no one has the authority, Jack, to shut the doors of my church. Neither do you. Open the doors of my church. And so I sent out a note. This will come together in a moment. I sent out a note to every pastor I could connect with in California. And I said, with or without you, I've heard from the Lord on this. You guys pray, but with or without you, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills will be opening the doors on May 31st. If you'd like to join us in your city, in your town, that'd be awesome. If not, God bless all of you guys. And so we opened up our doors, but so did over 1,000 churches in California. Including Mike McClure.
It's just amazing, Jack. So let's talk a little bit about current events and how we as believers need to talk about this. One of the things that you do as a ministry, which is kind of one of the templates that inspired this, is you have these happening now conversations where you'll bring in experts, or you'll bring in, you know, just people to talk about what's happening in the world.
Yep.
And then also giving commentary on what is true. Talk a little bit about what's happening globally with this current regime, Jack, and the threat that it poses to Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Charlie's exactly right. So what we do is we host this event called Happening Now, and we constructed this outreach that's in our own church, but it's an outreach to people who want to know. They're scared, they're nervous. What's happening in the world around us? So what we do is that we look through the events of the world that's going on, and we view them in light of Bible prophecy so that we make sure that there's no silly business. You know, silly business? Jesus told me that he's going to come back tomorrow at 2:00. You know that stuff you read in the newspaper? I hate that stuff. That does so much damage. And so we created this presentation to where we looked at things that are happening in our lives right now in light of the Bible. And so when we look at what's going on in America right now, the remarkable things, I say remarkable in the negative, is the fact that we are equipping believers to understand that, for example, Jesus said that there's going to be times when evil advances, but we're to stand against evil. We're to be respectful. We're to be loving. But listen, oh, I hope this doesn't come across wrong. Somehow, somewhere along the way, we have some, in some capacity, adopted that in a world that is out to eat our children alive or take our culture from us, that being polite is a virtue. And that we've stopped speaking the truth in love. And a lot of pulpits have gone woke on this issue. And they won't speak about the real history behind, am I allowed to say whatever I want to say?
Yeah, you're good.
I'm in Arizona, right?
This is an enlightened group, Jack.
Let's pretend, I'll feel better if I pretend I'm in California right now. I'll do that. So if I was in California right now, I would say that we need to find out who's really behind Black Lives Matter and who's really behind Antifa. You really need to know that. Because you need to know, very few people really need to know. The engine that drives those two entities is a very, very old ideology. It's a very, very old system that's been around. And whenever there's trouble, that group is always there, stirring it up. And so what we do is we take the events that are happening in your life, the stuff that your kids are going to be learning about tomorrow in school, and we do it with a biblical worldview perspective so that, listen, people leave that night knowing, wow, my Bible is more relevant than tomorrow's news. And I thought it was an old dusty book, but it's just given me the answer on how to deal with what's happening at work or in the world around me or how I should vote. Listen, every year, I won't do it here because I love the Barnetts, all of them, and it's precious. Every year at our church, I officially file a lawsuit with the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, they're our attorneys. I give a politically incorrect sermon that is very useful to all the people, and then we mail it to the IRS and the Department of Justice because we're trying to get churches to know that they can speak truth and that, again, God's church is the very epicenter. If you know American history, the epicenter of a city or a town was the church. And if a building was on fire, they rang the church bell. If somebody wanted to make an announcement, they rang the church bell. And if the enemy was invading, they rang the church bell. And that's where Paul Revere got the heads up, was from the steeple of the church. This is American history. And so we're probably a church that came together about 300 years too late.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, it's a church that there's more and more churches that are following kind of your tact, not necessarily as aggressive as you, as like, hey, Department of Justice, here I am. But still, there's a lot of churches that are, you know, that are definitely speaking boldly and courageously. And this is one of them. And Steve Smotherman and Pastor Jurgen Awaken Church, yep, which we're doing an event later this week there. So Jack, let's talk about kind of what's happening in real time and what people can do about it. Talk about why Christians need to take the education of their children so seriously, from homeschooling to private school to getting away from government schooling. Talk about some of your personal experience and what do the scriptures say about the importance of education with children?
Yeah, first of all, to the believer, the scriptures require us to teach our children from the scripture. And from the scripture, by the way, comes every answer to every kid's question is found in scripture. If you don't think so, that's on us. You have to find it. It's there. Believe me, it's there. So we believe that strongly. And so in doing that, listen, from California, the powers that be have launched for several years unbelievable curriculum. And they have approved supplemental curriculum. And I'm not talking about core mathematics or things like this. I'm talking about stuff that I can't even mention in this building that is so perverse. And nobody was saying a word about it until we actually got some of the curriculum and began to show the congregants what we were talking about. And the parents literally thought I was lying and making it up. It was so pornographic and so severe. And when the parents are informed about this is what's happening to their little one, then you talk about the school board meeting. We had a school board meeting on that topic where we had over 700 people show up to that meeting.
That's amazing. And I want to give you some good news. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example, then some good news. So California State Board of Education has now passed into law or rule or whatever. It's actually not a law because no one actually voted on it. They just do it by decree, right, that they must now teach the Aztec god of child sacrifice.
Yeah.
And children in California schools. I'm not making this up, right, Jack?
No.
They must recite the Pontec Blah chant in class of the Aztec god of child sacrifice. Like, it's not a spiritual war, everybody, right?
Yeah.
Right? Not a spiritual war. But here's the amazing news. In fact, I said this, I think, at your church almost a year and a half ago. I said America needs to double its homeschooling population.
That's right.
Guess what? The numbers have come out. America has went from 5 million families that were homeschooling. 10 million families are homeschooling right now in America. And
that's right.
If you're a family out there right now, you're like, homeschooling intimidates me, it's not for me. That's okay. I don't mean to shame people that aren't doing that. But you can do a version of homeschooling. You could do 1 hour a week where you sit down with your children on Sundays and turn off all the screens and just say, we're going to learn about American history. We're going to learn about Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and Jonathan Mayhew. And so I'm going to say this. Every single Freedom Square, we've partnered with Hillsdale College to give you all of the online courses. It's Charlie for Hillsdale, charliefor.hillsdale.com. And they're amazing because if every parent watching this online and here is like, okay, when I'm doing my Peloton or my SoulCycle or I'm going to listen to an online course, I'm going to learn something, and then I'm going to sit my kids down and be like, okay, for 30 minutes a week, I'm going to tell you what I learned about George Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what I learned about Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to tell you what I learned about godly men and women that fought courageously for our civilization. So even if you can't do the full homeschooling thing, I understand that. My parents were not into it, but I'll tell you what, they did a lot of their extra homeschooling. They did nights and weekends. They did summers, and they brought me to real sites. They brought me to Philadelphia. They brought me to Boston. And people say, Charlie, how'd you get such a passion for this? It wasn't the indoctrination. I was public school educated, by the way, public school. But I just tuned all that stuff out because I knew what I was getting at home was truth. And at school, garbage. Jack, can you expand on that?
That is so good. Listen, what I want to encourage all of you to consider, those of you who are saying, there's no way I would ever homeschool. Hang on a second. There are homeschool networks and co-ops that make it so remarkably able for you to do. There are teachers, and there are retired teachers, I should say. There are parents who are really good in history and really good in math and really good in biology. And there's these co-ops. I'm sure they have them here. They're big in California. And the co-ops wind up, they're homeschool kids, but they spend so much time during the week with other kids in these co-op settings. So that's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Also, in our church, we are just about ready to launch. Our church is probably watching this right now, and they're not supposed to know this yet. We've been working really hard, heading in the direction to begin, just to begin with. It won't be where we stop. It's where we begin with, because we don't have a better name for it yet. We just call it public school detox. We are in the kids the kids who attend our church, who go to public school 2 to 3 times a week after school, we're hosting detox teaching with teachers that are going to be unteaching what they learned and teach them what they should have learned. That's where we're starting, going to a full-blown school.
So Luke, I think we got a new idea here, a new ministry opportunity with the Dream
it's
Center.
It's powerful.
And I want to give everyone hope. I want you to imagine, because one of the things I love about Dream City Church is to dream. I want you to imagine a headline in 2050, front page of the New York Times. Surprising right turn attributable to homeschooling revolution that happened during the COVID pandemic.
That's
right. I want you to imagine that being written in 2050, 30 years from now, because we're seeing we are seeing such an explosion of homeschooling. I want you to understand how much 10 million families is. And so people say, well, Charlie, what does that mean? So the data shows that 97.5% or 98% of all homeschooling, they tend to be conservative. Now, there probably is that 2% of homeschooling people that are like the hippie liberals in like northern Vermont that are like, we don't like the system, like, you know, no electricity. But like, come on, if you're homeschooling your kids, you're not exactly like bowing to the machine. You have 10 million families that are doing that, and it's growing, not to mention the private school and not to mention even yes. conservative kids in public school. You're talking about all of a sudden, you're going to see demographics in 30 years from now that are going to shock the world. They're going to be like, how is this country still so conservative? I thought like they stopped going to your schools. That's why. And parents That's started true. To step up and started to get involved because what the enemy means for evil, God will use for good. What's the scripture, Jack, attributable to? I think that what is the verse?
Tommy, what's the verse?
I'm putting him on the spot.
I'm blank.
So,
it's David. It's Joseph talking to his brothers. What they had planned for evil, Joseph announces. Genesis. Somebody help us.
50.
50.
Give Genesis it up for Jack, 50? Everybody. That was hard. That was Erica, unfair, right?
Erica had the answer.
She. All right, but the point is that. The enemy was said, I'm going to lock it down. I'm going to keep people in fear. And what ended up happening? All of you, all of a sudden, were doing the laundry and your son was doing a Zoom class or daughter. You said, what on earth? And you go in, you say, what did that teacher just say? It was a transparency revolution that every teacher was exposed in a compressed period of time.
That's right.
Because the government school system was so sloppy in rolling out this That's online big. Learning. They had to sign waivers that parents aren't allowed to listen. It accelerated this trend. No, seriously, that was a real thing. In California, they had waivers that parents were not allowed to listen to these Zoom classes.
Listen to what he's saying. This is so great.
It's a real thing.
So the growth of the homeschooling movement is massive like never before. People, listen, in California, people don't realize California has either the second largest or the largest homeschool population in America. You don't think about that. But here's the deal. If it's such a bad thing and parents went through it regarding COVID, you would have thought that those numbers would have plummeted, right? No. Exactly what Charlie just said. The parents saw that their kid couldn't read. And they said, that's it. What am I doing here? This has got to change. And this is huge grassroots movement. Awesome.
And what's amazing, it's Hispanic and Black families that are actually growing the fastest in homeschooling. And they are asking the local church for support.
Yep.
They're asking local communities for support. It's such an amazing trend. So I want to get to some questions, and we're going to do it traditionally here. And since there's no child care obligations, we can go a little bit longer. If that's cool with you, since we have Jack Kibbs, we might as well get our money's worth out of him. And so, Jack, let's talk about what people can do. This is something we always want to emphasize here, not just kind of be a form of complaining. We could talk about Afghanistan. We could talk about, you know, what's happening in all these states. What can people do, Jack? Homeschooling is obviously important, all these sorts of things. Give us some action items.
Yeah, this is exactly what we're doing. For example, listen up, everybody, very carefully. California. Just a couple of weeks ago, they authored a bill called AB 455. And AB 455 was mandatory vaccine passport. You couldn't, if that bill were to pass, which by the way, they have a supermajority in Sacramento. If that bill were to pass, that means you couldn't go to a theater. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't go anywhere. You had to be limited in your movement, based upon you being vaccinated or not. That what we did was we contacted every senator, state senator. We printed up their phone number and their email in the various cities that they're over, right? That are on that committee. And then you turned it around and it completely gave you the verbiage of what was AB 455. It was on our website, but everyone attending every service was given the handout. Coming in. There was no room for error. Everything was there. All they had to do was call their senator's office. And most of those phone calls, by the way, most of them by far are machines. You just say, I want you to oppose AB 455, and I'm watching how you vote, and I'm going to respond based upon how you vote regarding this terrible, terrible bill. And so here's the cool thing. That was on Sunday. People began calling. On Tuesday, the bill was pulled by the author. Now, Chino Hills is 300 miles from Sacramento. But here's what happened. Other churches heard what we were doing. So they asked for a PDF of that document so they could print out the body of the law or of the bill. And then they applied their own senators' phone numbers in their area. And it became an overwhelming success in a matter of 72 hours. Here's the punchline. The bill was pulled. They authored a different bill and they called it a transportation bill. In California, it's called gut and amend. You can write a bill and it can be said, we are going to celebrate monarch butterflies. Vote yes. No, I'm serious. On the inside of the bill, they gut the monarch butterfly. They still call it the monarch butterfly bill, but on the inside, it's a COVID bill. Or it is a tax bill. It's a gas tax. It's a something thing. It's actually called gut and amend. So they did AB 1102. Back-to-back weekends last Sunday, you saw it. We had to do it again. And I said, church, I'm sorry, but I have to do something again. I know you heard this from me last week, but before we get into the message today, I have to announce to you AB 1102 because while you were working hard all week, your elected officials were working hard all week too up in Sacramento, and this is what they've crafted. So what did they do? They got back on the phone and they did it again. You guys, listen, imagine if every pastor in Arizona found out what was doing in their state capital and in their region, and that pastor said, I'm a watchman on the wall. I'm blowing the trumpet like God said, and I'm warning the community. You've got to stand up. You've got to make noise. The Arizona, California is different. Arizona, the whole nation would change if pastors would speak up.
So that's my last thing I want to ask you, Jack, as we get ready for questions here. Arizona is still, thankfully, a different state than California, and it's teetering on the edge.
Don't laugh, not for long.
Yeah, but like, give that message of that sense of urgency, Jack, because Chino, not far from a very conservative area, Orange County, you've seen even your own area and in the state over the last 30 years become completely unrecognizable.
Right.
Talk about how important it is that this gathering continues and people keep on showing up and people keep the pressure on. As you say, hey, Arizona, you're basically the center of the nation now.
Yeah, listen, Charlie's question is preempted by yesterday's Los Angeles Times, I believe it was. Los Angeles Times ran an article about the upcoming recall election that's taking place, and they're asking the question, how in the world did this happen? No, I'm serious. And I got to tell you, I'm gonna laminate the article. It was very well written. But the writer went down the list and said this entire movement where they were able to acquire 2.3 million signatures for a petition to force an election to evict California's darling. Really? No, really. To throw him out. How did this happen? And it went down the list and it started mentioning this. It's happened in the churches in California. This is where it happened. LA Times, Los Angeles Times. I'm telling you right now, you are going to think I'm crazy. California, I was born and raised in California. I'm telling you something right now. True. I've watched it go from a state that had Reagan as a governor and sent him to Washington, D.C. to falling apart completely. To be in a total embarrassment. Now, you know what? The recall effort is so powerful that it had to be a bipartisan effort. Second thing is this, that in the last 2020 election in November, you didn't hear anything about California, did you? Did you hear about anything about California in the news? No, you didn't. You want to know why? Because the news will not report what happened in California in November of 2020. What happened in November in 2020 in California was that, for example, four congressional seats that were rock solid for a certain party that I'm not supposed to mention were completely lost to four pro-life believers. And now they're in Washington, D.C. I'm talking congressional seats. A couple of those people go to our church. What's going on in California? Two things. People have had enough. They're realizing, I don't want to move out of California. And the handful of churches that are telling the truth, we don't have enough room for people flocking to find out, what do I do? California is changing. We don't know how this election is going to go on September 14th. Oh, we know how it's going to go. We just don't know how it's going to end.
It's who counts the votes that matters.
Because the church has awakened in California. And dear friends, I'll be quiet with this. I lived through the Jesus Movement revival in the 70s. I saw what happened. When you have people showing up an hour early to get into church and stand in line, when you baptize 3,000 people in 11 months, when you see what's happening, that's called a spiritual awakening. People want answers. The church in California is waking up. I have incredible hope for California, and you're watching it unfold right now. So don't lose heart, Arizona. Do not lose heart. Just let your light shine. Do the right thing. Don't expect your neighbor to do it. You do it. Don't say, well, you know what? I'm sure those people will vote. They'll take care of it. You vote like no one else is going to vote. You say, well, Pastor, why should I vote if we're going to lose? Because you're going to do the right thing. I honestly don't care about the outcome as long as I do the right thing. I want to be able to look God right in the face and say that I voted for a pro-life candidate for governor.
Amen. So let's start to get lines going for some questions. We want to prioritize students if we can. And I also want to say, here's some good news. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. There will be some more good news coming for certain big employers that have been mandating the vaccine here. And I can't say I have some inside information, but there's some good news that is coming down the pike about some people that have had their livelihoods uprooted and they're about to blink. And these big employers are about to rescind it. So I can't say what that is yet, which is great. And number two, I believe after last time Freedom Square, we had one or two young ladies that were about to get terminated. And I believe they landed other positions of employment. Is that right, Angel? Because of what you're all doing here. And
wow,
so
that's awesome.
I just want to say, that's part of what we're doing here. We're building community again. We want to give priority to students here and young people if we can. And we'll start right over here. I think that's Xavier Prep.
Hi, Charlie. So my name is Mary Virginia, and I am a junior at Xavier. And although, unlike Brophy, we are not being forced to get vaccinated, we still do have to wear masks. And I am sick of it. I want to know what action I can take to convince our administration to change their policies once and for all.
This is a phenomenal question. So is Xavier an all-girls school, or is it, yeah.
That's correct.
So that's kind of the sister school of Brophy, if I'm not, okay. Still learning in Arizona, everybody, so be patient with me. There's one way this can end, and this won't involve you. If 100 moms showed up and demanded a meeting with the president of either Brophy or Xavier, this whole thing ends. Now, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. People say it's not true. It is true, because that president will take the meeting if you storm his office and be like, we demand it right now. How do I know this? This is what the left has done to us for the last 40 years. Face-to-face confrontation, these people cripple like you can't imagine. Now, this won't happen. Let me tell you why it won't happen. Because every single one of those kids will be immortally embarrassed that their mom showed up in a way at an unscheduled meeting. And the moms will not do that at Brophy or Xavier. So the question is, what is the line to actually trigger that? But here's where you could be a leader. I'll tell you a story. When I was in high school, I actually don't tell this story very often, I organized my fellow students to protest something. And at the time, it was seemingly very silly. They doubled the cookie prices in the cafeteria from $1 to $2.
That's
which,
serious.
Again, this was inflation. This was a very serious thing. And so we got our whole district involved. I kid you not. You could look it up. You could type in Charlie Kirk cookie revolt. And it was the whole thing. And it was like students against cookie inflation. And it was silly, but we were principled because how dare you change the price system? And they actually blinked and they changed. The point is this, is that it taught me kind of the value of activism, right? And find other young people and students that agree with you and start to embrace being an activist, which is to demand meetings and to all of a sudden say, you know what? What if all of us just show up without a mask? You're going to kick us all out of school. We're paying tuition to be here. Like, this is the sort of attitude that unfortunately we have to start to embody. And I will say this, though, and Jack, I'd love your thoughts. It really needs to be the parents that are fighting for you, though. And like, yep. The problem at schools like Brophy is that that's a ruling class school. Like, they want their kids to go to Harvard. And the way that you settle differences for families that want their kids to go to Harvard is you ask for meetings and you write letters. Like, we're long past that, right? We got to start to all of a sudden be like, no. Like, we now have to embrace that kind of activist spirit because it is child abuse, the fact that you as a high schooler have to walk around with a cloth on your face. It's wrong. It's child abuse. Jack, what's your thought?
Yeah, real quick. I believe there's some mode by which the parents can unite. If they're not going to show up because they're afraid the kids might be embarrassed, there's got to be another way. There's got to be something. Banding together is the strength. That's got to happen some way, shape, or form. Be it a letter, be it a form, or you know what? Maybe all the parents should show up to the meeting with a mask on or a bag over their head. Something. But if they start to unite to fight, that sends the message. So it just takes one parent to call another one and say, listen, are you willing to stand up for our kids? Because honestly, the parents need to show this young generation courage. How are they going to get it if we don't show them courage?
And I just want to encourage you. You have the power to change this at Xavier. One person. You can be a thorn in their side. And don't let them intimidate you, but also know your facts. Be full of grace. Know the technicalities. Don't try to be asking to be a martyr. At the same time, you can all of a sudden inspire change, right? You can be like, look, this is ridiculous. Half the school's already had the virus, okay? I can't hear my teacher. They can't hear me. No one actually takes this mask policy seriously. They have them down all the time. We're talking to each other. What's the point? Is it about social control? I'm telling you, they will listen when young people speak courageously and clearly. I believe in you. You can get it changed, and we have your back to get it done, okay?
My name is Andrea. I'm 11 years old and in sixth grade. My question is, what's a good way, non-threatening way to share my conservative values with my classmates?
First of all, give it up. That's amazing. So I want to empower you. You said you're in sixth grade? So when I was in sixth grade in 2006, it's a long time ago, 13 years ago. Yeah, I don't know if you were born in 2006. No, you weren't. I had a teacher who will remain nameless, and the teacher decided to do an entire seminar on climate change and on why America's an awful country. And so I had to make a decision in sixth grade whether or not I was going to stand up against this teacher. And I did. She sent me to the hall. And so that was like a form of punishment back then. I don't know if they still do that, right? They still send people out to the hall. But all of a sudden, I made a commitment that no matter what the cost, I was always going to advocate for my beliefs. And so I just want to tell you that the younger you get involved in this, the stronger you will become. And the Lord will bless you richly as someone who wants to pursue righteousness with courage. Jeff.
Yeah. Listen, in fact, I'm going to need some help from all of you. I want to encourage you to get your hands on a series of books. I believe it's by Mike Huckabee. Does anybody know what that is called with the kids? Anybody know what the name of it is? It's awesome. And you need that. And here's the reason why. They're going to teach you how this nation came together, okay? And the nation came together by people speaking out. And when you learn your roots, you know, when you learn your country's beginning, that's going to catch fire inside of you. Okay, when you read that Patrick Henry said this, and it's all written at your grade level, you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can do that. That's why he did that. What's with this thing? That's why they did that. When you get that information in you, it makes it so much easier to speak out. You'll know when to speak out at the right time. But the greatest thing is for you to have the foundation so that good stuff comes out. Okay? And that, somebody tell her what that.
Is that your dad right
the
there?
The kid's guy?
That's the funniest shirt I've ever seen. It says, Dads Against Daughters Dating Democrats. That's very funny. That is funny. So I want to commend you. You as a sixth grader. So we're in this together. So in 20 years, it's going to be our country. Well, it really is. So I want you to fight hard. People will call you names and all that. But you obviously have a great dad who's very wise. Know your history, know the basis, love the Lord, read the Bible, and I have a feeling that we're all going to be working for you one day. So God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, be strong.
Hello, my name is Andrea Simpson, and I actually recently transferred from a private Christian school in Costa Mesa, California, only about 2,000 kids. I went in pre-nursing and came out political science because of what I heard.
Wow.
My question would be, what can we do for our college campuses, not even just across the country, but all of these campuses that I toured that are Christian and small and seems like this amazing community, but I get in there and there were only two of us conservatives in the entire political science program. And the other kid was two grades above me. So what can
And that's at Christian schools, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So Jack, do you want to start with this about how some of the seminaries yeah. have become and by the way, great school that Tommy Barnett is involved in Florida that's doing some great things. We're going to be announcing some fun stuff with that soon. And there are some good ones. But Jack, do you want to talk about this? Because this is an untold story of kind of how some of these small Christian schools have kind of lost their way.
It's absolutely tragic that what we're producing today are leaders who know nothing about the Judeo-Christian worldview foundation of this nation. Again, the United States is the most unique experiment on the face of the earth. And the reason being is because God was in it. All of our founders said so. They wrote it down. But here's the problem. There's been some seminary disconnect that we don't talk about those things. And it's absolutely wrong. So I'm sorry to tell you that what the immediate fix is that you have to self-educate, because it's going to take a long time to turn the ship of these Christian universities and colleges that have divorced themselves from the American experience, because the American experience is a God thing. And if you avoid that, then you're going to have two people show up at these gatherings. That's got to change. So you're going to have to change that. You're going to have to educate yourself and others. Hey, come to our meeting on Tuesday night, because did you know, and just throw it out there, did you know that Sam Adams was the spirit of the American Revolution, said his pastor? You're going to get people to show up just to say, that's not true. And then show them that it's true. But you're going to have to educate and educate them. You have to be like an accelerant. You got to start something, and it's got to come from you. And thank God that you see it.
Well, and part of the problem in some of these Christian schools, they've obviously gone woke, which is its own theology.
That's right.
And bad theology leads to bad politics. And if you believe the Bible is just kind of a suggestion manual or a dusty old book, you're going to get into bad politics. And the Bible speaks clearly that there is a natural law. The founders knew this. That's why they wrote in the Declaration, the laws of nature and nature's God. And so whether it be Newtonian physics or how human beings operate under pressure, are we meant to marry? How do we interact with one another? That natural law is written throughout the scriptures. and how we as Christians are supposed to live our lives. The other side, the left, if you will, do not believe there is a natural law. They believe that human behavior, humans as individuals, are malleable, changeable. This is part of why they believe in this cult of science, right? Now, this is a really important point, and I don't want to get too off course here, but science is only useful if you have strong character and proper morals. Science is not a worldview to organize society around. In fact, but you'll hear at a lot of schools, like, well, we have to follow the science, trust the science. We must put the scientists in charge. You pull that to its farthest extrapolation, eventually, you're going to have a question, well, who gets the medicine?
That's right.
Who gets prioritized? Who gets to live? Then all of a sudden, you're in a moral argument. And if you try to organize society through a microscope or in a test tube, you will lead to eugenics. You will lead all of a sudden to selection of the survival of the fittest. Jack, go ahead.
You know what? It just so happens that Charlie and Erica, they were at a service. We were in Romans 1.
It's one of the greatest sermons, Jack.
And Charlie happened to have been there. And you don't know this, but I got in a whole lot of trouble afterwards, because what I said regarding this was, in Romans chapter 1, the Bible teaches that there's two genders. And wait. Watch what happened. So I didn't take the biblical approach. I said, the Bible says this. But you don't have to believe in the Bible to come to that conclusion. If you're an atheist and you believe in evolution, then you're going to come to the conclusion that the Bible says, because the survival of the fittest is reproduction. That's why when you watch the moose and they're up there in Montana and the big moose has got all the other lady mooses around him. How did that happen? That big moose beat up all the other wimpy boy mooses. Okay, you with me? Here's the thing. In evolution, listen, if evolution's true, right, there would be no homosexual experience, because evolution would have removed it. That is a scientific fact. So I put forth the argument that you don't have to read the Bible to know which way to go on this. Look at the science, look at the biology, and then even look at the claim of evolution. It still backs up gender, two coming together as one. When you argue, you can argue biblical truth without using Christianese. We need to learn how to talk to the world without using Christianese. And listen, science only works when it's interpreted exactly what Charlie said, understanding that there is that lawgiver. And Newton had no problem with this. Newton came to the conclusion that I now understand science better, thus I have greater faith in God. You got to remember that. But
and then finally, I'll say, just some of these Christian schools, I think, don't understand the proper role of how to organize civil society. This is a very important project. It's not the most important project, but it can be the most important project if you organize society incorrectly. If you live under a tyranny, if you live under a dictatorship, if you live in a dystopian nightmare, or if you live under the cult of scientists, as we live under right now, then the gospel is then less likely to spread. Then it's harder to have large families. It's harder to be fruitful and multiply. And part of the problem with some of these Christian schools, I don't think they understand, or they're unwilling at times to contest on this. So I want to encourage you and get involved with Turning Point USA, which is the real answer.
That's right.
So, all right, next question. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Isaac. And currently my dad has served 27 years in the United States Air Force.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Give it up for his service. Thank you.
And Charlie, I recognize your efforts to limit vaccine mandates for students and college campuses. My question would be, for us as Christian conservatives and you guys, what can we do to help advocate, help, and just show our support for those in the military that are facing possible end of their career just over the vaccine?
So I'll start, Jack, then you could hand it off. So this is going to be a really interesting dilemma that the military is about to face, because if you look at their publicly announced vaccination rates, they're going to have to dishonorably discharge 30% of the military, roughly, if you count it all together. Are they willing to do that? 2 months ago, I would have said no. Now, I don't dismiss anything from this current regime, to be perfectly honest with you. But here's what really gets me fired up, and thank you for the kind words, because we at Turning Point have taken a strong stance against mandatory vaccinations. You know where the vaccine isn't mandatory? If you work in the Biden White House.
That's right.
If you are a staff member in the Biden White House, you do not have to get vaccinated. But if you are a fit Marine or serve 27 years in the Air Force courageously with a perfect record, they could dishonorably discharge you, which means many things, right? It means that you might not be able to get your pension, you might future job opportunities, you might have VA benefits potentially withheld from you. And so, you know, I would say that this is what we need to do first in Arizona, okay? If you know any of the House congressional delegation here in Arizona, you need them to raise their voice to make a stink about this in Washington, D.C. That means the great Congressman Annie Biggs, who's a friend of mine, right? Congressman Schweiker, Debbie Lesko, and they're friends of mine, by the way. But you just need to remind them, hey, you got to go fight for our military that are on the verge of getting dishonorably discharged right now. And so, Jack, you're dealing with this. And there, talk about the religious exemption side. How many religious exemption letters have you signed?
Yeah, you know, I actually don't know. We have on our website two versions. They say the exact same thing, but one's got church letterhead on it, one's generic. And it's been pretty epic. It's been remarkably well received. That was crafted by some attorneys that we had put it together. And so we have a religious exemption form. You can download it. You can get it signed. Now it's had some success. Unfortunately, it's had very little success or maybe none regarding military, which very much concerns me. It's had success with hospitals. It's had success with universities and with schools and with businesses. It has had zero success with our pilots and our soldiers who have used it for the military. This concerns me. Why is this happening? Something that where you have soldiers who have sworn an oath to defend us and to run into the fire and to risk their lives over a sickness that is 99 something percent recoverable. Let's just use our heads for a moment. Something strange about this. Why? Listen, more people die from AIDS. Seriously, go look it up at the CDC. More people die from AIDS. Why aren't we stopping all homosexual activity if we care so much? Somebody could die. Why aren't we stopping alcohol or the sale of tobacco? What's the deal? What's the thing? Something doesn't make any sense. And if I were China, I would be sitting back watching us surrender because of fear. And now I've got to throw in manipulation.
Well, and what's so terrible is that what I am finding, this is not a perfect rule, but the people that are resisting are people that have been there for a long time with specialized skills and that are not easily replaceable. And that there are a lot of entry level that are resisting, but they don't have as much leeway because they'll just get them right at boot camp. Like you got it. What I'm finding though, it's the people that have a couple decades that really kind of know how the inner machinery of our military works. If you are trying to all of a sudden disempower the greatest fighting force ever assembled, you would do this.
No one's going to sign
up. If you were trying.
Exactly.
And so what can we do? Well, prayer, because that is not something that we just do just as our own kind of, you know, conciliatory action. God can intercede here. But at some point, and this is a call to action, because Jack, you have a sizable audience and it's on our YouTube. The Senate Republicans have to start to use whatever small political power they have and say, we're on the Armed Services Committee, and I'll just a couple examples, right? There's a good man who's a senator from Oklahoma, right? Jim Inhofe. You've probably met him before,
yep,
right?
Yes.
He's a Christian. He could end this very quickly, but he doesn't want to. Every person in the Pentagon has gotten every favor from him over the last 30 years. Missiles we don't need, bridges we don't need to build. It's time for the Republicans that have given the Pentagon every favor they've asked for the last 20 or 30 years to pick up the phone and say, it ends now. That
exactly
there's no more
correct.
Mandating the vaccine against our military.
Yep.
The gravy train is over.
Yep.
They're not doing that yet.
Yes.
I want to say Senator Blackburn and Senator Cotton have been good on this, yeah. And Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, and Senator Lee, but it's about time they start to hear from all of us. But I want to say, your father, we have his back.
Yeah.
He's not alone, and we're here to support him and people like him. So thank you.
Yep. So you guys, I just want to add, as believers, you didn't have to be a believer. As an American citizen, the stewardship of this nation is our trust. That's on us. We have forgotten that. We've gotten easy. I don't know what we do. But we have stopped paying attention to our local government and to our state and to our federal government. We need to remember, we are to steward this America. And we've got to get involved. We've got to get engaged.
Next question.
Hi, Charlie. My name is Phaedra, and I was recently vaccinated and pressured to do so by the AIA and the Agua Fria School District.
What is the AIA?
The AIA is Arizona's sports league, okay. So we all fall into that.
Yeah.
So only unvaccinated kids get quarantined at my school, and the schools and teachers preach that if we are quarantined, it's our fault for falling behind in our education and sport because we could have been vaccinated and we could have chose to be vaccinated. Vaccinated people can still catch and spread the virus. It does not make any sense that they get to stay learning and playing their sport while other people cannot. Is there quarantine policy within Ducey's law, and can they keep doing this to us?
What school do you go to?
I go to Millennium High School.
Millennium.
This is horrible.
Say that again. Also in Peoria, same thing. And I just want to make sure you got vaccinated against your will, basically.
Yes, because I am a above average golfer and I would like to play college. So I have to have every season I can.
Yeah, it's so evil. We're at a place now that children have to make medical decisions and their entire life is being held hostage. And you made the best decision, as you know, to make for yourself. And that's what medical decisions are all about. We're never going to ever insult anyone for making a medical decision. We don't do that here. That's what the other side does. They tell us we can't go to restaurants. The quarantine pop, this whole thing is so insane. And it's just a matter of time until, you know, someone starts to stand up against this and starts to change this. It should be against the law. It also should be against the law that Scottsdale Unified School District defies Ducey's law that says you cannot mask children, and they do it anyway. At some point, there has to be an enforcement side of this, right? And currently, they feel as if they can do anything that they wish to do. And it saddens me greatly, to be perfectly honest, that you, someone who wants to have a golf career, was basically held hostage for a virus that you were not going to die of. Like, be perfectly honest, it's not going to happen. But some creepy scientist in a lab is like, I want to go control teenagers and their future. I wish adults would have fought harder for you. I really do.
Thank
Jack?
I probably should be quiet about it. I'm just
then we'll go to the next question.
It upsets me.
I know. I'm the same way. I gotta watch. It's so evil and so demented that we've gotten to this place.
That we are in America to have something done to your body against your will. Look, if you wanted the vaccine, God bless you.
I did not.
That's your business. Exactly. You said you didn't want it, and you were manipulated. You were coerced. And when will Americans actually unite and care about this enough to say it ain't going to happen? This is not going to happen.
And I will say that the Attorney General today did come out with a correct ruling for government employees in Tucson. I would have liked to see that ruling earlier for, I don't know, high school students. Like, that probably would have been probably better, but he did come out with the proper ruling there. But I'll be honest, guys, like, as much as we feel there's a lot of us, and there are, we're in an ideological minority in the sense that I drive to work at Turning Point and our radio show every morning, and it's like this nonstop propaganda thing. Have you seen this on the highways? Join 4 million Arizonans. I'm like, you know what? Like, no. Okay. Like, and stop. Like, I saw that the first 200 times. Okay. And like, it's like, no. Okay. How about this? Like, stop driving drunk. I liked those. Okay. Those were good. I like the drive sober ones. I could get behind that. So, but I want to just say the quarantine policy, I don't know if it breaks the law or not, or what it does. But I'm glad you're okay. You know, after getting vaccinated.
I'd like to address really quick that parents did fight the AIA, and they got no response. There was many emails sent from.
But was it required by the AIA?
Yes. Well, not the vaccine, but basically, if I was exposed to COVID, I would not be around my team for weeks.
And but you play golf. It's like the most socially distant sport ever. It's not like you're a wrestler. It's like, it's golf. It's like, yeah, okay. It's like, wait 5 minutes before they hit. Like, I mean, it's, we live in the land of the insane. Thank you for saying that. Thank some you. Adults stood up, though. And I want to say, I'm sorry you got put in this position, but keep on speaking out. So thank you so much.
Amazing.
Okay. Hi. Well, I go by Cassie, but everybody just knows me as Cassie. But my full name is Cassandra. I'm sorry. It's so confusing. Okay, so I go to Arizona Christian University. It's like
great school.
Yeah,
ACU.
Yeah, it's been such a blessing to me. I've finally been able to go on campus instead of online. I mean, I'm really great online, but in person, there's just something different. But one of my things is I have a lot of friends who are not in college, and they always ask me about, well, what if we have free college? That would be so much easier. And I sit there and I'm like, yeah, it would be so much easier, but that's not how it works. So I just want to know what's like the best response to say to them, because I personally am just, all of my responses don't go through. So I just want like a simple response and like leave me alone type of thing.
And these are people not in college?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, look, if you think college is expensive now, just wait till how expensive it is when it's free. And so part of the entire kind of modern college project is going to try to massively subsidize higher education to make it free for the consumer, very expensive for the taxpayer. And there's something to say, though, that to your friends, which is that every intervention that we've made on behalf to make college better or cheaper has made college more expensive and actually worth less than ever before. Every single intervention, a college degree used to mean something in our country. It doesn't mean anything anymore. In fact, it's like, oh, now you have to go get your master's. You got to go get your doctorate, or you got to go get your other specialized certificate. You want to know who like the richest people in Scottsdale are? The plumbers. They are doing unbelievable. Has anyone tried to get a plumber recently? I'm not kidding. They got to look into price gouging type stuff into these plumbers. They're like, yeah, you know, okay, one switch. Yeah, that'll be $650. And they could totally charge it. They have like a down payment. They swipe your credit card as soon as they show up. And it's like they got the whole thing made. I met this plumber, great guy, and never went to college. Totally. He's making like $400,000 a year in this whole like plumbing industry. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I go to these big people's homes. And he's like, they're telling me about their kids going to ASU and all this. And I'm like, why don't they want to be a plumber? And they tell me, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't want our kids to be plumbers. And he's like, okay, sure. It's like, that'll be $3,000 for your new Johnson rod, right? It's like, whatever that is. And so the point, that's one way to word it. But look, the other thing is higher education has totally gone out of control. And you should try to persuade your friends, like, look, you want things to be better and to cost less. Right. So you want less government intervention to try to get those things. Trying to make something free doesn't make it better, and it doesn't make it actually cost less in the long run. Jack.
Yeah. Free things are very expensive. If you think about it, Charlie just said it. Most free thing ever provided, and it was the most expensive, is Jesus's blood on the cross. Right. Think of that. But when man tries to do that, it never works. Someone has to pay. And then the saddest thing of all is for someone to want something for free. That tells you that the people that you're talking to, their character, their motivation, if any, they are so not being the human that they're supposed to be. And for them to say, well, wouldn't it be great if it was free? If it was free, you'd have no motivation to do any character or quality. And if you played that out, you would eventually have doctors who don't know which end to work on. You would have, you would have people who are called astronauts, but they don't know exactly what to do about that. It would be catastrophic. But again, it's sad when somebody actually thinks that if it's free, that it's good. It's a disaster.
And I'll build on this with Jack. This is a biblical principle. Things that matter and things you're going to value take your effort, your commitment, and your time and your sacrifice. Your most precious relationships are not just something you get for free walk. No, that takes time and commitment. Churches that are built, this was not built overnight. It takes time and sacrifice, commitment for those things. Wouldn't you want that a society to be organized around that way? You would think, but that would be rational. But thank you for being here tonight. Arizona Christian University is a great school. So thank you for being here tonight.
Wouldn't it be amazing if every elected official believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ?
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Would be amazing. My name is Mark Del Maestro, and I have a question for you, Joe. Do you know what a black robe pastor is? Because you certainly sound like you know.
I do. I lament the fact that I was born 260 years too late. And I have a black robe that hangs in my office behind the sanctuary wall, and there's a sign on it that says that I wear
in case of tyranny.
I have a sign I put on it. It says, yeah, exactly that. It says wear, and it's got skull and crossbones on it. It says wear in case of tyranny. And when something really gets me, I will put that robe on and do a Sunday service with the black robe on, because I know exactly who.
I've seen black him do robe it. Regiment. Something else. He comes out in the whole thing and he canceled. It's great.
It drives Newsweek crazy, by the way. Whenever I do it, it's a Newsweek story. So I should.
You should explain to them what it is.
Yeah, black they don't have a clue. Cast.
Black robe regiment.
Black robe regiment was the men that were responsible for the American Revolution. Who said that? Our founding fathers said so. The Black Robe Regiment were the pastors from about 1605 with Pastor Hunt. 1605. Can you imagine that? But more predominantly pastors from about 1720 to about 1770. Black Robe Regiments, whereby they preached the scriptures. Those sitting in the congregations heard about liberty. Some guy by the name of Sam Adams said, you know what? We need to realize that the King of England is the modern day Pharaoh. We are like Israel, and we've got to make a break. And Jefferson said, that's a really great idea. And where'd you get that idea from? And he said, from my pastor. And these were the Black Robe Regiments, and one of the greatest, you can go research him later, Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, was the most remarkable pastor. And what he did was he summoned and called forth pastors of the colonial period, Jonathan Mayhew and others, Charles Chauncey, Jonathan Witherspoon. These guys preached, and they changed the world. In fact, so much did they make an impact that some guy by the name of George Whitefield got on a boat and sailed from England to see what was happening here. And people don't know that. People don't realize that. America came about by the Black Robe Regiment.
It founded the country. Thank you so much. Next
God
question.
Had his soldiers in place.
Thank you. We'll try to get a couple more questions. Yes.
Hi, my name is Cammie, and I'm a nursing student here at one of the colleges in Arizona. The college that I go to, I just want to say, takes 2.5 years on a wait list just to get in. So I'm in my last semester of school. I graduate in 3 months. My school is now giving us two options. One is to take the vaccination. The other is to get an exemption, whether it be religious or medical.
Get the exemption.
I have had one of my classmates get denied his religious exemption on a basis not known to us. I am expecting for me to get my religious exemption denied. And so we have written numerous Arizona representatives. We have tried scheduling a meeting with our nursing director, who won't email us back. She has no showed on one of our meetings with her. And we're just trying to figure out what we can do as a next step, being that we're so close to graduation and have sacrificed so many years for this.
What school is it again?
Mesa Community College.
Okay. So they're definitely in the public domain. And so they got to be very careful the way they handle this. I want to offer this for everyone out here. I had a very good meeting with the Attorney General today, and he just wanted to make sure you're all aware that on his website, if you feel you've been religiously discriminated against with one of these denials, then you can file a religious discrimination claim. And he says that he's taking those very seriously, and that if someone gets a letter, even a letter from the Arizona Attorney General saying, hey, we want to know about this denial. Was it because, what was the reason you denied them based on the religious exemption? So I just want you to know that I talked to the Attorney General at length here. So I want you to know that's a resource available to you. It's not bulletproof, but if you're in a situation, so I just want to offer that for you, that if they deny your religious exemption, then you could go to the Arizona Attorney General website. And I've been told by him and his team that they're taking these very seriously. Is it because they don't like Christian exemptions? Like if you got a Muslim exemption, would they grant it? Like that needs to be investigated. You want to say something in follow up to that really quick?
Well, so he put on his exemption that he was pro-Christian, and I was going to turn mine in tomorrow. So I was curious if I should put that I'm Muslim and can't get it.
No.
Don't do that.
Not that I am, but we were just trying to see.
Yeah, so she's already thinking this way. She's like, yeah.
No, but listen, what I can tell you, there's certain language that you have to have. And I want to encourage you to go to our website. What is our website? I don't have a clue. I never go there. CalvaryCCH.org. Is that close? CalvaryCCH.org. Download the exemption form. Download both of them. Here's the reason why. The verbiage on the inside, prepared by attorneys, okay? Exact same story you just told was a successful story for one of our congregants at UCI Medical. Same thing, UCI, okay? Super liberal school, crazy school, but this being the case. He presented it. It's written in such a way by attorneys who are not only constitutional attorneys, but they are born-again believers, and they know how to talk. You can't say, I'm a Christian. You can't say that I don't believe in vaccines. You can't say that. But what they did, they crafted this. So far, it's been bulletproof. It's been amazing. You need to look at it. Everybody needs to take a look at it. One addition is there's a friend that is being threatened. We're not going to pay any attention to your religious exemption. What he wound up doing, I wrote this out for him, but I wouldn't put my name on it. But it was simply this. I so-and-so am being asked by this company to accept the vaccine based against my own desires. And I do this under duress because my livelihood is being threatened if I lose my job. And so it must be understood that I believe that my First Amendment is being violated. And so now listen, this doesn't normally work, but the point is this. I am hereby consenting to receiving the vaccine only if a representative of this school or corporation signs here, dotted line, and I, from the moment of reception of the vaccine, hold this institution responsible for any health issues that will surface from this moment forward. Now, an attorney in the house might say, that'll never work. But what I can tell you is everyone that's handed it out has said, we'll get back to you. They've looked at it and they've said, we'll get back to you. But please go to our website. Please look at the verbiage.
Jack, it's calvaryCCH.org.
CalvaryCCH.org.
And where do they go on the website?
Just follow the whatever.
Does it say vaccine letter?
Yeah, man. What does it say?
It says exemption form.
Okay, exemption form.
Vaccine exemption form. But you also, I want to encourage you with one thing, though. You'll probably be able to run out the clock because you only have one semester left, right?
One of the major problems with this is if we were given a timeline, we have to have all doses of the vaccination before September 30th.
You have to sue them over there.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, if you do the religious exemption, you can't go back. There's no going back. So for my classmate, he's actually removed from the program.
Yeah.
They need to contact ADF group here.
So if you want to get one of our, we have another attorney that might be able to help you. Kelly Shackelford, First Liberty, has been really good.
Yes.
I think you might be able to beat this one. I don't say that lightly because some of these are kind of fool's errands. But thank you for being here tonight.
Be tough,
All right?
Be respectful, be loving, but be tough.
I know we're going late. We're going to try to get to one or two more. Yes.
So
So I'm a Christian teacher at Paradise Valley Christian Preparatory.
Awesome.
And my job is to help parents who come to private schools to get funding to support their child's needs.
Awesome.
And today I received an email, which is so bizarre, from the PV district. And they said that after tomorrow, any student that has not met with the district staffing, which it's kind of funny this year, it's been really hard to get them to do staffings with us. And they said after tomorrow, all funding is stopped for any students that are going to private schools or homeschooled. And one of the phrases she said in there is, we've had such a large increase in homeschool families that we cannot keep the funding for these students that do not come to public school.
Now, we met earlier. Don't you help deal with this? Yeah. So could you help her out with that? Okay. We had a great conversation. I'm not literate in that, but I'm going to see, this is why we have this beautiful event, right? Because we're going to find experts that I have no idea how to help with that, but I bet they're breaking some rule. Right. And so I'm going to connect you to,
because otherwise we're going to have a ton of students at our school who will not get the funding to help their children.
All right. We're going to help you fix that. Okay. Last question. All right. Yes.
My name is Nick. I want to say, one, I love you because of all the things that you stand for.
Thank you.
And I have a question for you, sir. I run a public safety agency and I refuse to get the vaccine, refuse it, to the point where even my family has been subjugated from hospitals from doing so because they refuse to get the vaccine. They were sitting in the emergency room for 8 hours or more before they were taken back, even though they were, should be considered a priority.
Yeah.
My question to you is coming from our perspective, as a Christian, how do I move forward to battling this as like an evil type of thing and being able to take a stand in the public safety community to say what I believe?
Well, first of all, it is evil. It is an evil thing. And as believers, we understand that we're in a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not of this world. They're not carnal. That means that there's dark forces, but it's lived out in the world that you and I live in. And Christians need to wake up and come to the fight. We got to show up to the fight. How you show up to the fight? You use the freedoms that we have left. I mean, honestly, I believe we've lost the freedoms that we've lost because we weren't using them in the first place. It's a muscle we lost. You have got to speak up. You've got to write letters. You've got to do it respectfully and intelligently. And you watch, you listen to Turning Point. There's other organizations where you can get talking points and learn how to do this. But you, by all means, learn your battlefield. Learn your enemy. When I say enemy, the system out there has taken stupid pills. And it's lost its constitutional concept. You've got to remind them of it. You have a First Amendment. You pay taxes. You've got to make respectful noise. Paul the Apostle did this, you guys, in Caesarea, when he said, I appeal to Caesar. Let's just stop talking. I'm going to go to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, that's my right. And they said, yeah, you're right. We have to send you to Rome now because that's your right. You need to use those rights.
Well said. All right. So I'll trust your judgment, Ash. Last one. All right. Super last, even though we're way over time.
Hi, my name is Aiden Nicholas. I'm a homeschooler here.
Hey, there we go. The future of America.
I think I turned out okay. We'll see. So my question to you is, so Christians obviously have to obey the government to a certain extent. So I think one of the problems that Christians are undergoing is, when should we disobey the government? And I think one of our founders had to ask this question at one point. So I think one of the first questions that I would like to understand, and I don't have an answer for this, is, was the American Revolution biblically justified?
Yes, it was. We're going to do this as quickly as we can. Jack, you go first, then I'll go, and then we'll wrap it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you study what brought the revolution into being. You're talking about a dictatorial tyrant called King George III, who was not only enslaving the colonialists to pay for England's expansionism, but it was even restricting the types of sermons and what could be preached in colonial America. Our founding fathers said, we've got to throw this yoke off, but you don't even have to listen to those guys. Go back to William Bradford. Go back to the Mayflower Compact and find out what those separatists were all about. their whole thing was the Church of Europe has placed upon us impossible things that God is not for. God is for us to preach freely and to congregate freely. So yes, remember this. Romans 13 is in the Bible to protect the believer, not the government. It says right there that the government's been appointed by God to do good. When the government ceases to do good, it's no longer under the authority of God. It's gone rogue. It's called California. And that's exactly what's happened.
And two examples, Daniel 6 and Acts 5. Daniel disobeyed the orders when they were against God's commands, and he did so publicly and was willing to accept the price. And Acts 5, that's the scriptures are, we will obey God rather than man. The founding fathers first appealed through legal means.
That's right.
Then they appealed through written means. They appealed through meetings, sending Benjamin Franklin to Parliament. And eventually, who fired the first shot? Britain fired the first shot. We did not. They declared war on us. It was not a war of independence. It was really an attempt at separation. We tried peaceful and we tried dialogue. And eventually, if you had to go to blows and aims, then eventually it went to that because they understood the righteous cause they were involved in. Happy to go through that in a deeper biblical theological way, but we are over time. I just want to say this. Next meeting, everybody, October 19th, right, Joe? We're going to have hopefully a really big speaker to announce. And I want to say, everybody, there's momentum here in Arizona.
Amen.
I feel it moving. There will be an audit report coming out very soon that I hope we all keep our eyes on. And for those of you guys watching online, if you want to hear this conversation and more conversations like it, you guys can check out the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We're going to rebroadcast this. Support Dream City Church, guys, if you can, and show up to their wonderful services. And everybody, let's give it up for Jack Hibbs, the one and the only, for coming here tonight. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.